This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, a fantastic Monday, and oh man, I'm so unreasonably excited for tonight's show. Oh, why, Chris? I'm glad you asked. You see, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about tariffs because I'm bored with it. I'll address it about 10 minutes from now for a couple minutes, and then we're going to move on. We're going to talk about programmable human beings, how programmable they are, and how this can be used for evil. In fact, we're going to open up the show talking about that. An hour from now, we're going to talk about Medal of Honor Monday, and then strap yourself in. It's history time. An hour from now, we are going in, and I don't know if we're coming back out. I don't know whether this is going to be a two-part, three-part. I don't know whether I'm just going to take the final 2 hours of the show and talk history. I don't know. We're going to go where the wind blows, but it's going to be a good one. You already know what the subject is if you've been listening. If not, too bad. You're going to have to wait now. All that and so much more. We'll get to emails and many things coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin with something. I want to talk about atrocities against other human beings. Don't worry, I won't make it too dark, but the atrocities you've read about, you've heard about, you've watched movies about, documentaries about, where groups of people, countries even, will commit horrible atrocities against another religion, another skin color, another nation, another this, another that. How can human beings make themselves do that? I'm not talking about an individual, right? A serial killer who's sitting at home covering himself in peanut butter. I'm not talking about that. On a large scale, doesn't it fascinate you? Doesn't it horrify you? Have you ever thought about it? How could this happen? How could so many people consent to such a thing? It's not like one guy. There's always a guy who's willing to kill and maim. But how do you get so many people to do it? Historically, the Armenian genocide. It's a famous one. We won't even get to the Holocaust, which everybody knows about, but the Armenian genocide. Turkey, Ottoman Empire, really. They decided they were going to move the Christians out of there. They thought they could be subversive, and they end up just slaughtering them, starving them to death. It was just this massacre. How can so many people be okay with that? It's not like it was one or two guys. How could so many people be okay with that? Japan in World War II. We'll make it about World War II. We go to a different theater. Do you know all those millions and millions of people who died during World War II? Did you know 20% of the World War II deaths were Chinese? Do you know that? That's an unbelievable number. You don't hear about it a lot because that portion of the war isn't sexy, but 20%? And who did the killing? The Japanese did. How? How could that be? Why could that be? Well, my favorite documentary, as you know, Hell in the Pacific, has a great little tidbit on this, but I've read similar things in several books. They have, as part of that documentary, a Japanese soldier, former Japanese soldier. He's there. He's in the documentary. And in fact, where he physically is, as they're filming the documentary, he's physically in a village in China where they massacred the people who were there. And then they still have, I believe if I remember right, they still have the mound where the mass grave was. Men, women, children slaughtered en masse, thrown into a big pile, and they threw dirt on top of them. Now, this guy, he lights a candle there. He expresses, you can tell, genuine regret there. All these years later, he's an old man. He's thinking back, looking back to what they did. And you can tell, man, he'd like to have that one back. At least there's that. He'd like to have that one back. But he talks about it in the documentary. He says, look, we were just taught that Chinese people were less. Less than human. Certainly less than us. I believe he references them as dogs or rats. I forget which one it was. But human beings are programmable. And they, all of us, you, me, all of us, we are programmable to an extent that makes us uncomfortable. In fact, we are so programmable that it's alarming and we don't want to acknowledge it or talk about it. And that's why it's so important to talk about it. Because I'm looking at all these stories. I'm looking at things like support of men and women's sports. I have audio. I'll get to that in a moment. I'm looking at the Naval Academy having to remove 400 books from the library. What kind of books? We'll talk about that. I'm looking at an article from Woke Spy. Social media users debate if it's really murder if the victim is white. Okay. How? What's going on here? What do all these things have in common? Well, even with the atrocities, when I bring up human beings and how bad that can get, we tend to think about it only as a historic thing in the past. In the past, this is what they did in the Ottoman Empire. In the past, this is what the Japanese did. In the past, they used to. We can look back and see that used to happen. It used to happen. Wow, I can't believe they did that way back when. And we do not understand and we do not fully acknowledge that it's happening now. The early stages of it at various levels are happening right now on the planet, and we don't like to talk about it. Human beings are being programmed. And the reason I wanted to have this talk tonight is because Megyn Kelly, I want to make sure she gets credit for it, she got an exclusive. She got, remember the Nashville shooter, the tranny shooter? Walked in Christian school, killed some kids, killed some teachers, nasty tranny shooter. And the Federal Bureau of Investigation buried the manifesto. And I want to make sure they get credit where it's due. So did the Nashville Police Department. They took this killer's writings, and apparently this killer wrote a lot of things down. No, I'm not going to name the person. This killer wrote a lot of things down. It was not one little entry in a journal. Almost 1,100 pages, from what I understand, was this person jotting down their thoughts, their hopes, their dreams, their fears. And of course, because the Federal Bureau of Investigation is an evil state police agency that should no longer exist, they hid that information from us. For 3 years, they hid what was actually in there. Steven Crowder ended up getting his hands on a few pages of it. Credit to him for that. But for the most part, 1,100 pages, we didn't have till someone finally hands it to Megyn Kelly. Well, Megyn Kelly starts going through it, starts publishing things like that. And it's, look, there's a lot of things that stand out, and I'm not recommending you go comb through it. It is not a, it's not a window into a lovely world. And really, I'd tell you if it was beneficial. I don't know that it would help you, but I'll tell you this. This is a human being. Now, remember, this person had no moral problems with walking into a school and executing Christian school children. That's the morality of the human being we're talking about here. In fact, they intended, she intended to do it, planned it, and did it. That's the kind of morality we're dealing with here. You know what that person was most worried about in life? Racism. In fact, you know what that person felt the most guilt for? Not the plans to line up Christian kids and teachers and murder them. No. Being white. That was the thing that really, really held her down. Or him down. I forget. What did these start out with, Chris? Who knows with these freaks? That was the thing that really, really got to them. To the point of depression and tears. Now, we can just dismiss this as being, oh, it's just a crazy demon.
But it's time to comb through these stories real quick. Let's comb through these stories and let's have an honest discussion about what has already happened to millions of Americans and how ingrained it is. And we're having this discussion so we can all wake up and realize we haven't won squat. We are in the early stages of a war that is going to last a long time. And if we don't remain vigilant, there are going to be bad things that happen at the back end of it. All that and so much more is to come tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We're also going to get your dog healthy. Your dog has gut problems because you're not putting rough greens on his food. Your dog's coat is getting dull because you're not putting rough greens on his food. Your dog is lethargic at the vet all the time because you're not putting rough greens on his food. Dogs do not get nutrition from dog food. They don't. I understand why dog food companies do it, but they kill everything in dog food. That's why it's all brown, because it's all dead. They need it to last forever on the shelf, and it does last forever, but there's no, it's just empty calories. And then we're just devastated when our dogs die so early. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black created the incredible Rough Greens natural nutritional supplement you sprinkle on your dog's food. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, everything your dog needs. You want to try it? You'll see such a difference in your dog. Roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or call them 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's going to be an amazing Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, History Monday. So much is still to come. And yeah, I'll touch on tariffs in just a few, and then we're moving off of it because, frankly, I'm bored of the whole thing. But right now, we're talking about how programmable human beings are and how many of our fellow Americans have already been programmed, and we have to wake up and realize it. I'm going to play something for you. This is John Oliver, okay? He does a show. I think it's on HBO. It sucks. Don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. But just let's talk about the tranny argument. This isn't going to all be about that. In fact, this is only one aspect of it. But just the way of thinking that says if you start chopping off body parts and then some doctor makes some disgusting thing out of the flesh of your forearm, then if you do that, you can become the opposite sex. Just that. Look, it's insane, isn't it? It's insane. Now, you know that. I know that. It's obvious. The very idea of transsexual is insanity by any measure. By any measure. Now, let's travel down that road a little bit. Men and women's sports. Human beings have a desire to see women protected. All human beings do. Women, understandably, they don't want other women to be harmed. Women are physically weaker, and they know that. They're born knowing that. Born more worried, more watchful, because they have to be. Like all prey is, you know, and sadly, because there are predators, women can be prey. Women know that about themselves. Women don't like seeing other women hurt at all. But it's more than that. Men hate it too. Any man worth his salt sees a woman, hears about a woman being abused, especially abused, hurt by a man. It creates murderous rage inside of men. Murderous rage. For the longest time, I don't know that this code still exists in America anymore, but for most of my life, actually for all of my life, not only in America, but around the globe, if you were in a public setting, it really wouldn't matter what it would be. If you were in a public setting, and let's say some man hauls off and cracks a woman, maybe it's a strange woman, maybe it's his wife or his girlfriend, that man could reasonably expect a beating from every dude around him. You don't even have to know him. You don't have to know her. It's just inside of men. You did what? No way. And all of a sudden, there's 12 dudes on top of him, stomping him into the pavement. That's how men are. We don't want to see women hurt. especially by other men. It creates something in us. Now, as far as women being hurt by trannies in sports, by dudes, have you ever seen that UFC? I don't know if it's UFC. Actually, I don't want to say UFC. That MMA fight where the dude pretending to be a chick cracked the skull of his female opponent. Have you ever seen her face afterwards? It was so revolting and sad. I couldn't look at it. It was awful. Have you seen the video of that high school girl, the one Trump invited to his State of the Union speech? That high school girl, when she got that ball spiked off of her head, just collapsed on the ground. Every human being, you don't have to be a Republican. You don't have to be on the right. Every human being who hasn't been programmed into being a demon knows that that's wrong. Our young girls participating in sports is good. It's healthy, makes them physically better, makes their social well-being better, friends. You learn hard work. It's good for women. It's good for men. Sports are good. And young women are being physically harmed by men across the country. This was John Oliver.
Right, bigger and stronger bodies are not automatically advantaged in every scenario. I mean, put The Rock in a pure bar class and see what happens. I mean, but the degree of difference here matters because we expect a certain amount of difference in athletics. Taller basketball players are expected to compete against shorter ones, faster soccer players compete against slower ones. Michael Phelps was allowed to compete with other swimmers despite being part dolphin. And crucially, none of the studies I've mentioned so far bear much relevance to what these new laws target, which is youth sports, usually of all ages. And the research there is even more scant. We have no research about how being trans or undergoing gender-affirming treatment impacts athletic performance in teens. And when it comes to kids before the onset of puberty, I could talk about the studies showing the subtle performance differences between boys and girls, but I'd argue when you're talking about seven-year-olds...
It's enough. We know when they're kids, too, that boys are bigger, stronger, faster. John Oliver knows that. All those barking seals in the crowd, they know that. Both people who happen to be watching this on television, they know that. They know that. And yet, even though it's politically unpopular, even though it's insane, even though it's sick, evil, demonic, and wrong, the left won't let this go. They won't let it go. They can't let it go. And you, maybe you've done what I've done, looked at it just purely politically and said, that's crazy. Why wouldn't you let it go? It's a losing issue. They can't do it. Why not let it go? It's like they can't do it. Because they can't do it. Because they have been programmed years and years and years of social conditioning with what they watch, what they listen to, what they read. They have been programmed, and fighting for trannies is as real to them now as anything in your life. Couple more points on this and then we'll move on. Before we move on, here's what else is real and sad. All those physical pictures we have, not the stuff on our phones, the physical pictures, the VHS tapes we have, they're fading on us. Time does that. Time destroys film, destroys pictures. It's the humidity and the heat and the cold, and it's just, you can't stop it. It's unstoppable. You know what's so sad about that? That wedding album you have, it'll be completely gone one day and forgotten. That home movie you have, big family reunion, your great-great-great-grandkids could look at a movie of you guys, hear your voices, see what you were like. Instead, it'll be gone. Unless you give it to Legacy Box and let them digitize it for you. They'll send you back the original. Let the people at Legacy Box digitize those things for you. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. $9 a tape right now, by the way. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a, I almost said a Friday, on a Monday, an incredible Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, and history coming up a half hour from now. Emails, it's a huge show. Right now we're talking about how many Americans have been programmed. We just went over the tranny stuff, the insanity of it, but they can't let it go. Why can't they let it go? Because over and over and over again, what they've watched, what they've listened to, what they've read has programmed insanity into their bones. An insanity that isn't real is as real to them as the fact that water is wet. That is how it goes. And this is how atrocities happen. The tranny killer walks into a Christian school, mows down a bunch of kids and teachers, and this horrible murderer who's currently burning in hell had no moral issues at all with murdering children and teachers, but had a deep, deep, deep moral hatred of white people. Letitia James tried to respond to Donald Trump and Trump's DOJ and the things we're doing with her. This is New York AG Letitia James because, let's go ahead and add this one in. This way of thinking, this you're lower than me way of thinking is deeply ingrained in the race communism of this country. Remember, the Soviets infiltrated the civil rights movement on purpose. This is 60s, 70s stuff. They knew they could do a lot of good work there, dividing up this country and creating, ingraining in the American people of all colors, not just black, of all colors, that white people suck, that white people are evil, that white people kind of have it coming. And one of the most effective ways they did this in the black community of this country is they infiltrated the churches. There are some wonderful black churches in this country, and there are some black churches in this country every bit as demonic as the Church of Satan. You've heard audio after audio after audio of these air fingers, quote, pastors from the pulpit praising everything from abortion to the U.S. of KKKA. You've heard these demon types, and what they've managed to do is they've managed to weave white hatred, communism, America sucks. They've managed to weave that into biblical teachings. And now you get Letitia James with these odd sounding rants like this.
Listen, faith and fear can never share the same space. And so I'm covered by the blood. And I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. You can come after me, but no enemy, nothing formed against me will perish. Nothing formed against me. Nothing formed against me. Nothing formed against me.
I'm a communist attorney general from New York. I ran for office telling everybody I would use my position of power to arrest, imprison, to destroy Donald Trump after getting elected. I did exactly what I promised. I used that power against Donald Trump. He overcame, won the election anyway. Now that my crimes are being investigated, I'm covered by the blood, Lord. I'm covered by the blood of somebody.
Can I get a witness?
They do it so well, don't they? Weaving disgusting communism into the Bible, into biblical teachings. Speaking of the race communist movement in this country, Naval Academy removes nearly 400 books from the library. What books? Oh, the United States Naval Academy, the revered Annapolis, they started packing the library full of kill whitey garbage, full of America sucks garbage, white people are evil garbage. And now, finally, to wrap this up, social media users debate if it's murder if the victim is white. Look, a lot of people say a lot of dumb things on social media, so we won't go into this too far. But I saw a poll earlier today. 55% of the left is really okay if Donald Trump gets assassinated. Human beings, all human beings are programmable. They hear the same thing over, 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 and over again. They can become programmable. And don't think that this is only a problem for the far left. The right can succumb to this just as easily. Because what we will do is we won't fight as hard as we should against something, because in ways, we've been programmed as well. We don't want to speak out if it's offensive here. We don't want to speak out in defense of this or defense of that. After all, I mean, patriotic Americans are the enemy. Men are the enemy. White people are the enemy. All of society has told me so over and over and over again for all of my life. So surely it must be true. Surely I have to be more polite, right? I don't get to. Look, Chris Cuomo went on Bill Maher's show and said something about Jasmine Crockett. I hate to say it, Chris Cuomo is 100% correct.
But it just shows you that, you know, you can joke about these things without.
I'm fine with it, but when you cancel one person,
because
it's a black woman,
right, you're
who's
right.
doing it, they're not going to cancel
totally.
Her.
Totally.
That's the problem.
You're right. She wears the magic armor. She wears a magic armor so she can do that. Yes, you're right. And both parties do that. Like when you're in our...
Why is that a thing? They're talking about Jasmine Crockett with her... She was talking about Greg Abbott and called him Governor Hot Wheels, which again, I wasn't offended about. I don't care, but... Why does she get away with it? She gets away with it because she's black, talking about a white person. Because, okay, well, let's dig deeper into that, because we don't want to just whine about that. Well, why is that? Why can you get away with that? Why can you get away with saying the most despicable things if you're black, if you're talking about a white person, but you can't get away with that if you're white? Why? What's the actual reasoning there? The actual reasoning is the American people of every size, shape, color, and age have been programmed year after year after year after year in our system of government to think that white people are the source of all problems, the source of all evil, and if something bad happens to them, they kind of have it coming. And we've also been programmed to think that black people have been historically oppressed without end in this country, and because of all past oppression, whatever modern-day sins they commit are completely justified because things didn't work out that well for their ancestors. That's how the American people have been programmed, and it is something we have to be aware of, because it ends with genocide. Because it always ends with genocide. No matter what people you're ostracizing. And it's taken religious forms a million times. It's probably the Christians. Why did Nero kill so many Christians after the burning of Rome? He didn't have to. He needed a scapegoat. And for the longest time, they'd been saying, those people are bad. Those people are bad. Those people are going to cause problems. Look at those people. They're going to cause problems. Well, Rome burns. People are angry. They're looking for someone to blame. Well, it was already built in. I bet I know who it was. Chris's people. How many times have they, the exact same thing. You know what a pogrom is? We talked about it before. It took place all over Europe, and really Russia was really, really bad about that, where you'd have the Jews one night, the people would whip up into a frenzy. They'd descend on the Jews and beat and rape and murder them. It's a pogrom or a pogrom. I can't ever figure out how to say it. Everyone says it differently. Why were the people so programmed to do that? Because over and over and over again, year after year, I bet it was the Jews, it was the Jews, it was the Jews, I bet it was the Jews. Why is inflation bad? It was the Jews. A kid went missing. I bet the Jews got him. Jew, 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 Jew. Eventually, boom, the people were primed and ready to go. Look, the black people experienced it in the opposite way in earlier years post-slavery. Black people are evil. Black people are dumb. Black people are criminals. Black people this, black people that. You want to whip someone up in a frenzy? Some night some girl goes missing? I bet I know who did it. Down to the black population you go to abuse them. Be very careful whose society is programming the people against. That was my point. All right, let's touch quickly on tariffs. I swear on my life, this is going to be the only segment I do on the tariffs on the show. If I have any say-so in it, it'll be the only segment I do, because then we're moving off of it. Before we do that, let me talk to you about chalk, about feeling good, strong, bold, because that's what we need now. That didn't go away just because Donald Trump won an election. We are still a low-T society. Not our fault. There are estrogens in the water. We can't do anything about that. Chalk is out here to reverse our energy levels. Ladies and men, chalk has the best natural herbal supplements ever. They're also the most hardcore anti-communist company I've ever talked to in my life. I love them so much. And they're here to make you feel better. I don't want you to take my word for it. Try a chalk subscription. Get a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack or even maybe just some chalk lit powder for the mornings. And you try that for a couple months and tell me how you feel. I have a feeling you'll email me like everyone else does saying thank you. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, gives you a huge discount for life. For life. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, I lied about the tariffs. I have to get a story off my chest, and then maybe we'll get to some tariffs. But I'm turning into my father. Oh, I didn't tell you before the show, Chris, so I'll bare my soul and tell you, along with everyone else, I'm definitely turning into my father. And just a heads up, just many longtime listeners will know this, but my father passed about 6 months ago. Miss him to death. But to this day, if anybody, myself, my mom, anybody says something overly rude or something like that, my kids, my sons will say, "Hey, Dad, that sounds like something Grandpa would say." So that's where we're at here. Here's what happened yesterday. Then we'll get to some tariffs. I ordered some food for delivery. Okay? I ordered some food for delivery. Now, I ordered an extra dip with it. Okay? For your information, it was Chipotle Ranch. They had a Chipotle Ranch that's delicious. And I said, I actually wanted two extra things of Chipotle Ranch. The Chipotle Ranch was not a side issue. It was a main part of the meal. I wanted Chipotle Ranch. It was going to make the meal. Okay? You with me? All right. Look, whether you're against ranch or not, it's not important to the story. I ordered extra ranch. Apparently, you can't order anything on the phone anymore. So they put it into the computer and they said, "We'll process this through the computer and then we'll deliver food for you." Okay, fine. I don't understand why I can't just order from the store, but okay. So already my frustration level is elevated. All right? It's elevated. They deliver the food. Do you think I got my ranch? No. No, of course not. No, because 99.9% of restaurants in this country, they take your dip requests when you order an extra sauce, an extra dip. They take the request, and this is exactly, are you listening? This is exactly what they do with your dip request. They take your dip request, they look at it, and they go, that's what they do. They crumple it up and they throw it away because it's completely unimportant to them. Totally unimportant. So, of course, food delivered, no ranch. I'm upset. I want some of my money back. I paid for it. I would like my money back. I didn't get what I paid for. I am not able to log this complaint with the company itself by phone. I have to do it through the email link they sent. Okay, fine. That's fine. I'm mad enough that I'll take the energy. I click on the email link. I talk to somebody right off the bat. "Hey, good afternoon. It's standard corporate customer service jargon. How can I help you? Is there a problem?" And I said, "Yes, there's a problem." "Oh, okay. What's the problem?" I said, "Well, you forgot my Chipotle ranch again, and I'm sick of it, and I would like my money back." That's verbatim what I said. "And I'm sick of it, and I would like my money back." This is all being done on a phone, right? By phone, by chat, I guess it was a chat, he says, "Okay, let me transfer you to the correct department." Okay, a little odd. So I sit there. I counted for 4 minutes after they transferred me. They kept saying, "Hang on, someone's coming, someone's coming." Finally, someone gets on there and he says, Sir, I need to know if you've sought out medical attention. And I said, medical attention? No, why would I seek out medical attention? Sir, I just need to know, is this an allergy you had? And I said, what are you talking about? I just want some money back for my Chipotle ranch that you forgot. And he says back to me, you told my representative that you were sick and I am with the medical department and I have to figure out what this is. And that was the moment I lost my temper and I turned into my father and Aubrey was mortified and the boys were mortified and I'm not proud of what happened next. What I told him was, hold on. I'll tell you verbatim what I told him. Right here. Oh, yeah, here it is right here on my phone. No, I'm not sick. Get some customer service people who speak English. The restaurant forgot my sauce and I want a refund. And then he transferred me back quickly to the other department and I got my refund. I'm not proud of what happened, okay? I'm not proud of it. But this is why I remain America first.
There's pain in the market. At some point, you're unwilling to tolerate this idea of a Trump put. Is there a threshold?
I think your question is so stupid. I mean, I think it's I don't want anything to go down. But sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something. And we have such a...
That's Trump talking about tariffs. Here's the EU lady, Ursula is her name. I'm not making that up saying this.
We stand ready to negotiate with the United States. Indeed, we have offered 0-for-0 tariffs for industrial goods, as we have successfully done with many other trading partners. Because Europe is always ready for a good deal, so we keep it on the table. But we are also prepared to respond through countermeasures and defend our interests.
Okay, so that's Europe. Here's a Democrat, former Democrat in Pennsylvania.
Well, historically, we've all been Democrats. A couple of us up here are third-generation steelworkers. And we had a trade case years ago that our ex-international president, Tom Conway, was fighting against the Chinese for illegal dumping. When President Trump stepped in and he imposed those tariffs on the Chinese, I firmly believe that he saved the steel industry, not only in our country, but the Mon Valley.
And that's all the tariff talk we're going to do for today because I'm so freaking sick of talking about it at all. Like I've always said, we're going to see if it works or if it doesn't. My word of caution to both arguments, both sides of the arguments remains this. If you're anti-tariffs, fine. There are great arguments to be made there. You can be anti-tariff without sounding like you don't give a crap about blue-collar people. And if you're pro-tariff, that's fine. There's wonderful ways to make the pro-tariff argument. You can be pro-tariff without sounding like a jealous little Marxist because your neighbor happens to have a BMW and you do not. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to talk tariffs anymore. I don't want to talk politics anymore. I want to do Medal of Honor Monday and then disappear into history. And I don't know if we'll come out of it today. Hang on.